tonight, which is August 20th, 2026, at 6:30 p.m. We are having our regular town council for Manaway, and we want to call to order from a roll call. We do have all council members present. I've asked if Bryce Jepson could give us a invocation, starting us off this evening.
Our Father, who art in heaven, we bow our head and thank thee for this great country that we live in, and especially for this little valley where we reside. We are grateful for it and for the freedoms we enjoy. And we ask that thou bless us as we meet, that we might be cordial and efficient, discuss the items that are pertinent for the operation of this town. We are grateful for the freedoms we own and have, and we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bryce. I'll rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we'd like to start off with, on our agenda, the approval of our meeting minutes for the public hearing on the water, garbage, and recycling adjustments, and then approve of the town council regular meetings, which was held on July 16th. So if someone would motion for approval of that.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for the public hearing for the town of Palmer, water, garbage, recycling, utility rate adjustments. It was held on 16th July, 2026.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
No nays. All right. And then moving on to the town council meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion that we approve the town council meeting that was held on July 16th, 2026.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
No nays? Approved. The next on is the consideration to pay the bills, which we have just signed all of the bills, to make a motion to approve those bills.
Motion to approve the bills signed on August 20th, 2026.
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
No nays? Motion passed. This is an opportunity for the public comment. Anyone that wants to speak on any topic regarding matters pertaining to the town. I don't want to hear about your personal matters. And we will listen, but not take any action and not respond. But does anybody want to bring anything to the town's attention? John.
Yeah, it indicates here that matters not otherwise listed on the agenda. So, do I wait until later to talk about the state
park thing?
You
can bring it up. If you want to bring it up then, that's fine, because it's going to be a discussion point.
Yeah, because do I give my opinion now, or do I wait later?
You can wait. I'll let you wait. Somebody sue me. I'll let you wait, because this is just a discussion, so we're going to have just a discussion on it. So, do you want to wait till then? Or do you want to do it now because you have to be somewhere?
It says matters otherwise not listed.
Yeah,
agenda.
I know. I don't know why that's the case. Do you know why that's the case?
I don't know. I guess there's one.
Is this the microphone?
No, the microphone's right there. This is an Al. We're testing out something for Zoom. To see how it works for us. We're just kind of trying it out.
So it's good for recording?
Well, yeah, and it will be good for if you want to attend through Zoom. But go ahead.
Okay, this is on JL Art. About the state park.
we're going to be talking about that this afternoon, or on the agenda. So.
Thank you.
Appreciate your concern, John, and I love the fact that you come every week, or every month. Thank you. Any others? All right. We have presentations and informational items, but right now, with regards to the civic review, we need to make a motion to table that till September meeting. Because Rob's, are you doing it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Sorry. We won't table it then.
My presenter is here.
Okay. All right. Okay. So with that, this will be a presentation for the civic review. Pam,
yeah.
Or your sidekick. What is your name?
This is my sidekick, James.
Yes.
You guys wore like green shirts together. So, yeah. Well, here's the thing. We're testing it out. These are called OWLs, and they will follow the person who's speaking. But I think does it base off of the microphone?
Yeah,
I think
but it's not hooked up because I don't have my computer.
Oh, shoot.
Sorry.
Dang it. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
So it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Never mind.
I'm going to take that over if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So while he's setting up, for those of you that do not know, we are already using the Civic Review platform software. We use it for our building permits. We use it under the control of Box Elder County. So what happens is anybody that applies for a building permit goes into Civic Review, and then Box Elder County does their stuff, and then we go in, look at the plans, and then Rob does his part of it. And then that's where these guys collect fees and stuff through Civic Review. Civic Review can do a lot more for us. And if we were to get Civic Review ourselves, we are not under the control of Box Elder County. Box Elder County currently holds all of our records. So once we close out a building permit, if we want to go back in and access an old permit, then we have to get a hold of Box Elder County, wait for them to pull it up for us, and hope they can find it, that sort of thing. So, is that enough?
That's enough.
Because you can say a lot more than I can.
Yeah.
It's a great program.
And tell me your name again.
I'm James.
James.
Yep,
okay.
James Kendall from Huntsville. So I'm not too far from you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple months ago, I came here and I showed Rob invited me and I showed him and Scott and a few other people to Civic Review. I'll cover just probably three things that people in this room will like and people in the Valley will like about Civic Review being adopted. So, first, Civic Review lets you take any of your applications or forms and put them online. So the people out there apply for their building permits, their fence permits, any kind of application at home instead of coming in here to do it. The second feature that they will care about is the applicant or the homeowner or the contractor, whatever you want to call them, they can get on a portal and track the progress of that application and talk to the city through that portal. They can through that portal. I'll show that in a minute. And the third and final thing that probably more of the people in this room would care about is there is a centralized hub or a town view of all of your applications, where they're at in their progress of approval. Historical data is all kept in there, reporting, all that kind of stuff. So, those are the three big things that I'll briefly touch on, and I'll show you what that looks like out in the real world. So, first I want to show you Nibley's website. They're a customer of ours, and this is their forms and documents page. Not too different from, you know, what you guys have going on this page, where you click on one of these permits or applications and it opens up a PDF and sometimes when we adopt technology or make changes like this, you worry that some of the folks who aren't as technically savvy might have, you know, issues submitting it. We didn't. We made it so that, you know, we got rid of the sign-on to remove some of that friction. You know what I mean? The other thing, I mean, you'll notice just how simple it is. There's not places for them to get lost. Every question is customizable. Some can be required. And how it works is we would take all of your current applications and just copy all the questions over and just build an online version of that. So I'll briefly mention as well, Nibley's a really good example of a small town using civic review in so many different departments and areas. You'll see on the website a few building permits, and then a whole bunch of zoning. There's fence permits, rezoning, site plans, variances, all of that kind of stuff. And then over here, there's utility service agreements, city hall rentals, special events, licensing of all kinds, business licensing, dog licensing, things like that. So civic review can be used all over the place. And then the third thing I want to show you is what the city sees, what you guys can see. So this is what Pam would see and the others. You log in and under new, these are all the different permits or applications that are currently undergoing review. And so at a glance, you can see, you know, this building permit, for example, it's been pre-approved. The building official says looks good. Now we're waiting on zoning, and they paid their fees. You can filter it, you know, just show me the business licenses. Just show me the ones that are waiting payment. So there's a lot of power here for the city staff to just manage and approve things quickly and make life easier for the people in the valley as well. There's customized reporting that they can then do whatever with, bring to you guys if you guys require the reports. You're not charged extra to use civic review in other departments either. So that's why I mentioned a minute ago, all those different areas that Nibley's using us, you have the ability to, any kind of application or form that you guys use, you can throw it on civic review for no cost and start using it there. So, that's civic review in a nutshell. Is this a question and answer thing? Like, do you guys have questions?
A couple questions I have. You can pay things through this, right?
Pay things, yes.
Are you PCI compliant?
Oh, I don't know what PCI means.
So are you storing the data somewhere?
Oh, yes, we are PCI compliant. And the data is still owned by you, say one day that you decide to leave CIDR review. All of that data is exported.
Well, that's the problem. We're not PCI compliant, so we don't know how does that work. So if you say we don't, or if we say we don't want civic review anymore and you give us all the data, we can't take it.
Gotcha. Then I guess we would give you back any sensitive or non-sensitive information, or just keep it.
The beauty of this program is that if I wanted to go in and see who's all paid on building permits and on subdivision applications, it's going to provide continuity. I can put a checklist in there, and whether I'm here or not, we put in checklists that anybody can go to and see what they need. Right now, that is such a mess in my world that all of our checklists are currently on the land use side being updated. So if somebody calls and gets somebody in the office that doesn't know what the how to find the checklist, or they just go to forms and applications, and there's an old application up there, this can fix all of that. The other thing is too, like when somebody comes and asks for a conditional use permit, I have no idea knowing if they paid wrong or not. We're not tracking that very well. Pretty sure we're losing money not tracking that. I, as a business owner, home business owner, if I could go in and just renew my business license online and then Sharita or whoever's monitoring that, you know, Ron can go in and see who's paid online. I mean, they can come in here. We don't have full-time staff, right? 9 to 1, wherever our hours are. If I can't do that, I'm working somewhere else. This solves a lot of that.
So and something I didn't show you that feeds into that is what their portal looks like. Yeah. Is the owners or your contractors or your homeowners. So let me find a good example of that. So after a permit or application or license has been submitted, they get an email saying, thank you for submitting Demand Away, click here to go to your portal, and that takes them to this page, and from this page, I can see who has reviewed my application and what they've said so far. I can message the city directly from this page. Again, if you have strange hours or whatnot, I can just, I know exactly who to talk to, and the conversation will live with this application forever as opposed to separately in an email, which is nice for both parties. I can print my own CFO or building permit or business license from this page. A lot of power all right here that makes it really nice for your citizens.
So can you, I mean, that's okay going forward. Can you take existing active information and the city keep populated in this or?
Are you talking about like for renewals like she was mentioning?
No, I'm talking about things that are ongoing that haven't completed the process. Is there a way to put that information into this database or is it just going forward from the time we implement it?
Oh, if you do have any historical data right now on spreadsheets or anything like that, we will take it and we'll upload it into the view. So if your businesses are listed, any ongoing permits, yes. Okay. Yeah. If it was at the payment stage, one of you mentioned that a minute ago, there would be a box here that says, I can pay my fees online too. Also making it very easy for them. That's kind of where we live in now. We want to pay quickly. We don't want to come in and hand a check. So that's nice.
Also, were you going to say something? By the way, I just checked. You guys are not storing the data yourselves. You're using a third party.
We're using,
You're using
Amazon servers.
Yeah, CSG, Forte, and Express Bill Pay. They're storing it. They are PCI compliant. The other thing I am questioning, too, is we're looking, I believe it's 2028, we have to be ADA compliant. Is this ADA compliant?
It's compatible with, if I understand the question right, it's compatible with browser translations and browsers are ADA compliant. They can read the page to you. And that's not probably going to translate to another language.
Okay.
All of that kind of stuff.
Okay. Because that's illegal.
Right.
We have to have that. Okay.
Yeah. So we base our cost on volume. So one of the reasons we work well with small towns.
Volume based on
the number of applications you would accept a year, or you would use Sitter Review for a year. So you would tally up. We get 100 building permits a year. We get 50 business licenses. I know some things here. We get outreach special event permits. You would just tally up all the different kinds of forms you want to use Sitter Review for, and that puts you into a tier.
Okay.
When I talked to Rob earlier, the first tier is 0 to 1,000. We felt pretty comfortable that we would be in that first tier.
0 to 1,000
application process. Yeah.
Wherever those are.
Code enforcement.
Harbor rental.
Yeah.
Park rental.
Fence permits. Little Valley Days does any kind of, I don't know, special event permitting, anything like that, you can throw it on there. To finally answer your question, the first tier is $6,000 a year.
Okay.
$6 per.
Yeah. And we actually, like on building permits, Bowery rentals, we could actually build that into the fees as well. So basically, you know, yeah, it's a big hit up front, but I think we could recoup the costs just because we're missing money. I know we're missing money. And the application fees could cover the costs going into the future. So there's
right,
no reason
right
not
now, because I've kind of been through this process, how long on average would you say does it take you, or I should say, take the county to get the information that you need when you're having to go back and ask them? Because we don't have the records here. We're having to go to the county and get that. Does it take them a minute? Like, how long is it taking them to get us the information that you're asking for?
I don't know that we've gone back and asked them for any old records.
Okay.
I think Rob maybe did that, but you've got to find the right person,
right.
And it's like a couple of day turnaround, right? So not a huge deal. But if you go in and look at that, if I'm building a house and I don't read everything I'm supposed to read, you know, no matter how many side things, I go into a civic review, I see only Box Elder County's fees in there. They don't see all the impact fees in there. Which, if I was building a house, it's just like, holy smokes, you know, it shows like maybe 3,000 or 4,000. Now I'm getting billed for 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And also there's the controls. Like when I'm on there only as a viewer. Rob things, and I think Marcus is in there as somebody who can actually comment, which would go back to the homeowner,
mm-hmm.
right? So when Rob says, hey, I don't like your site plan, I need a new one, blah, blah, blah. I just get to view and I can make an internal comment. Boxholder County will only allow us to have so many people in that program because they're doing that for a lot of other communities as well, right? But with these guys, if we own it, we set up the controls, we set up who has access and who the administrators will be, and we can have as many people.
Unlimited
as
users on your side, and you can set up if you work in third parties or people that are out of office.
What is the, like, NIB list and example? They have quite a few things that they put into this. What is the setup cost? And time, is it a few months? Is it a year?
Yeah, good question. On average, it's 8 weeks to get set up. And during those 8 weeks, we import any data that you have, any historical data that you give us. We train your staff. And third, we build your forms. We'll take any of the forms that you want online. We copy the questions over. We work with that individual to say, do you still like how this worded? Do you want that change? Do you want this to be a drop down? You know, that kind of stuff. We build it and then turn it on. As far as getting it turned on at your website, it's as simple as just swapping out this link instead of going to a media. One of those forms that I showed you earlier. So no overhaul on the website. It's a quick 2 seconds swapping the link out.
Ron, does this come out of administrative costs from a budget perspective?
Yeah, it's from my general budget.
General budget.
Yeah, it's return to plate. Trying to charge Keith Keller, return to administrative.
Okay.
Can I come out of my findings on
your budget? Could count on your findings split it. Yeah, they just got box here.
I'm willing to do that.
you can tell it's like Pam and Robert.
What's your budget?
Listen, James, what's the next tier?
It's 1,000 to 1,500 permits, and it's 9,000 a year.
So 3,000 more.
But we just didn't think, I mean, we sat and counted up. We just couldn't even imagine getting to 1,000.
Let's say you were 1,001 at the end of the year, we wouldn't back charge you either. We just move you to the next tier for the next year. Or give you the opportunity to say, okay, let's not do special event this upcoming year. Let's nix those and stay in that first year. You get a drive, right?
Yeah. I think you have a valid point in that where we have shortened the hours here. And I heard a lot of complaints about not being able to get in and not being able to pay things online that they want to get paid, getting applications in. I heard a
calls for, and she's on, you know, Angela's on vacation, she's getting calls for like a zoning application or a conditional use permit, then if she doesn't order find it there, and some of our applications are just
in the search bar here, and she looks up the name of who applied or the address, and boom, it's right there.
And
in this case, okay, the building official says it looks good, I'm waiting on zoning right now. She can give that answer right away, or give it from home even.
Or then you go online, and you have a checklist to follow, an up-to-date checklist. So everybody's on the same page. They don't have to get a hold of me for a checklist. They don't have to get a hold of Rob for a checklist. They can go on there and get a checklist. Would be the same with special vendors for like Little Valley Days. You go on there, you put a checklist of everything they need to supply, and it's right there. And that alone to me, just that continuity and that consistency is just, I mean, valuable to me.
Both sides.
Yeah.
So this isn't, this is for, on here it's informational. Were you wanting any vote on this or what?
Well, we didn't think you guys would be ready to do that, but if you would like to move it to an action,
I don't know what
you're talking about.
Because you got to amend the agenda anyway, so you might as well just amend it.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm asking is, were you wanting this to just present and then bring it to another town council for approval, or were you looking to approve it tonight?
I didn't expect an approval tonight, but now if you want a motion to make it an action item.
What do you guys think?
If you guys need some time to think about it more.
Is there any other towns around that use it?
We have a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So we started in Ogden 10 years ago. Let me show you a quick map of, there's 50 or so in Utah using us. Showing what American Forks paint. So in Logan, we've got North Logan, Cache County's using us, Providence, Nibley, Tremont, and Fox Hunter County, Perry. So that's Willard. That's all the ones around you that are using it.
What about Cemetery?
Yes, Cemetery Plot Sales.
Yeah,
we definitely need that.
What kind of protection? Mind you, I'm not a computer, but like, what? I just know that county has been hacked in the last year. So, what kind of protections do you guys have in place so that reduces?
Sure.
I'm not saying anything's foolproof.
If it's sensitive data, like, I don't know if any of your forms require social security numbers or things like that, it's double encrypted. We do multiple backups a day, which means if it was ever hacked, we would revert back. You'd lose maybe an hour of data or something like that. We would revert back to.
Do you have an app that you put on our phone?
It's web-based, so it works.
Okay.
Okay, I think I've done that on my phone when I
go to the
building county.
Yeah, from the applicant side, it shows you what it looked like. Like, it's just smart. I don't know where my tab is. But you saw it. It's very simple. No places for them to get lost. There's a big blue button after.
Do we want a motion to move it to action items and then vote on it, or do we want to wait until another month to?
I can vote on it.
Okay, so somebody want to make the motion?
Wait, hold on. You have to move to amend the agenda first.
Oh, okay, sorry. We need to move to amend the agenda, which we have to amend it anyway, because we put the table it till September for the civic review, and we also have an amendment at the last minute on the update regarding the roadway adjacent to the Thurgood property. We need to amend that as well.
And we need to amend Bryce talking.
And we need to amend Brian's talking.
Yeah, that's right.
All of these last-minute things that showed up.
I move to amend the agenda for the town council meeting August 20th, 2026, 6:30 p.m. Item 5, the civic review, move that to an action item. Also, add Bryce Jepson's topic to an action item. No?
The discussion?
Discussion?
Yes.
A discussion from Bryce Jepson. And amend the agenda, item 6, action items, to table motion until September meeting on the update regarding roadway adjustment to the third
adjacent
to the third property, correct?
Adjacent to the third property.
Did I get it up?
I think so. Okay.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Yes.
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 No nays. Motion passed to amend the agenda. All right. We amended it to now be a action item for the civic review. We would need a motion for approval of the presentation and the amount and to move forward with that.
I'd like a motion to approve the civic review software purchase as stated by James at the tier one of $6,000 per year.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 No nays. Motion passes.
October we'll be able to see all that stuff. 8 weeks.
Okay, it's so good because so many people come in and I can't answer the questions about any building.
Right.
Yeah. So I turn down people left and right.
And then Pam, we'll work out how to cover that in our building. So, great. So it'll be no impact to our budget. So.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Given the fact that we've amended the agenda, we're going to replace, as stated in that agenda, with a presentation that will not be action item. It will be discussion from Bryce Jepson, I guess, and Gardner Jepson, regarding, they will let us know what it's regarding.
First of all, thanks for being willing to amend. I apologize. I did not get any mention of Steph and change.
I'm sorry, Bryce.
Let me just begin by saying that last month during our Little Valley Days, we have a patriotic program, you know, and this year they had some people get up and give quotes from founding fathers as part of that patriotic program. One of those people, I don't know which founding father it was, but it was quoted as saying that the purpose of government is to protect the rights of the people. And that's what I'm here for, is to ask you to protect my right as one of the citizens of this community. Okay, so I brought some maps, and unfortunately I can't have them viewed up there. But I have them here if we can look at it if you so desire. But what I'm asking you for is if you go on the Dyke Road on the south side over here, as you get up on the road, there are three places where there are roads coming into that Dyke Road. One is right down close to the boat dock, comes down Mill Road and then goes up on. The other one, the second one, is goes down the Reservoir Drive along 100 South and out onto the dike. And then there's another one that goes off to the south a little bit further on down. That's the one that I'm interested in right now, is that one right there. Okay, the road that goes there goes south about property. Then there's a 90-degree turn, and then it goes west and comes in right there by Keith Jensen's home, and I don't know the name of that street that passes his house, but whatever. So it's been there for as long as I've been alive, and recently a citizen has put out the sign on both ends of that where it comes into the Dyke Road and the road up by Keith Jensen's place, and stating that that's a private road, no through traffic, and essentially trying to establish that that's a private road. And my contention is that it's not a private road, it's a public road. I talked with some of the town people, and they are hesitant to agree that it's a town road, because, at least in my mind, they haven't said this, but they don't want the responsibility of having to try to fix it up and maintain it. I don't know if that's true or not, but whatever. The fact is that I have old maps. One of them is one of the original plats. That's this one right here. And I gave a copy of some of that information on here to the mayor some time ago. But there it is right there, and it shows the road. Okay? This is a map.
Can I
come down? Yeah, absolutely. This is a map that says this is Denton Beecher. Now, he was the county recorder a few years ago. He says, I certify that this is a correct copy of an old linen provided by the descendants of Lars J. Halling, January of 2000. And so forth and so forth. Okay. Unfortunately, this is only a map that includes only the east part of that. So here's the knoll that sticks out in the river. Kind of oriented. Okay. All right. Now, the roadway that I'm talking about is this one right here. Okay? This road right here, this road is what we call today Reservoir Drive, or 100 South. Okay? Now, this portion of it doesn't exist anymore because the reservoir comes out like this and takes in that. Originally, that was the road that came out to here. Now, I've got farm ground out here, and I've got farm ground right up here. And so I access that through, used to be through this road right here, but of course now it comes up onto the dike, and then I use the dike road to get out and access my farm ground out there. The road that comes up this way south is to a pasture that I have. Okay? Let's see if I can. Okay. This is the pasture right there.
Okay.
This is the road we're talking about. Comes off right there.
Gotcha.
And then turns and comes up right here. And this is Keith Jensen's home right there.
Gotcha.
Okay? I'll keep that up there for a minute, okay? So, on this map here,
I don't know how to put it up there outside.
Okay.
On this map here, this is shown as a road. I have here a 5 years ago, in 2001, I had the pasture that I was talking about, right there, I had that surveyed. And I wanted to follow the fence line and survey it. Okay, so here it is right here. See this? That's this right here, up over there. See that? You see that on your map there?
Yes.
Okay. Notice on this, when he surveyed it, he did not close our property with the next property. He left it open. Originally, there was a roadway that was down there, and, well, this is about far enough, I'm sure. Anyway, those have been established roadways forever, since the town was established. I was told by the county recorder at the courthouse, Gardner and I went down and talked with him here a couple months ago, and he says this roadway coming up here, the description on the property on both sides of that, do not close, they leave a gap for the road. It tells you that it's the road.
How big a gap is there, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's not the standard 66 foot, I'll tell you that.
So you're saying that road goes all the way through to Rocky Dove?
Originally it did.
This map shows it does.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, Chet Rasmussen bought the property on both sides of that road, and he, at some point in time, said, I don't need a road down there. I can get through my property on the north and on Rocky Dove Road on the south, and he closed it off and farmed it. So it doesn't exist anymore. There was a second road a little farther up that did the same thing. Mm. You may show that on yours, I don't know. See, originally this road got all the way through, all the way over to Rocky Devils. All the way to Rocky Devils,
yeah?
Right there. Now, it's not there now.
Right.
But originally it did. Okay. So that kind of tells you what the situation was here. And Keith Nelson, or Keith Jensen, is the one that's put up the signs. His intention was, he told his brother that he was going to put up a gate, you know, and gate it off. Now, I talked with Rob Fain, and he got online and found a state ordinance that says that any road that's been a public right-of-way for 10 years or more cannot be closed.
Here's what it says, and I was looking it up while you were talking. It says a roadway is legally recognized as a town road through official legal mechanisms, including, the first one is formal dedication and acceptance. A developer or property owner dedicates the land for a road, and the town board officially accepts it. The second one is, and this is where I think it falls in, but there is a clause here that could be in question. Prescription of long-term public use. In many states, if the public has used a road continuously for a statutory period, 10 to 20 years, for example, depending on state law, and the town has historically maintained it, this is where it might be getting a little squishy, it becomes a public town road by operation of law.
Okay. Well,
the other is eminent domain.
Right now, that road coming from the dike up to my pasture, nobody owns that property. Because the deeds on both sides don't close. That's open. That means if nobody owns it, that means the public owns it, doesn't it?
Would mean that, yeah.
I would think so. That makes it public. Mm-hmm. It's not private, it's public. Because nobody owns it.
Well, would it just be, at this point then, a simple letter to...
That I don't know. I don't know how you can handle it.
To Jensen. Well, I'm wondering if it comes from you with a legal backing that says this, or I don't know if we decide
or
whatever.
I don't know if I have any legal. I don't have any authority. That's my problem.
Well, you would if you had a lawyer.
I would if what?
You would if you had a lawyer. That has this information, that when anybody has this information. The other is, if we take it up as such, that's another topic.
Well, that's why I'm coming to you, because your responsibility is to protect the rights of the people. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Now, I've already experienced what happens when people start gating things off. Now, of course, Keith has said, well, we'll gate it off, but we'll leave this all you got to do is shut the gate. And pretty soon they say, oh, now I want to put a padlock on it, but I'll give you a key. Now, I access my farm ground from the dike road. And right now, we used to be able to go out there on a public road and access our farm. But then the Brigham City comes in here, and they put the reservoir in, and then the only access was the dike road. And the first thing the Brigham does is out there by that area where the restrooms are, on the south side there, they put up a gate. All right, now, Yes, I can go through the gate, so I have access. But it certainly has limited me. Because every time I want to go to my farm, I got to go out there, get off my tractor, out of my truck, whatever I'm in, unlock the gate, open it, drive through, get out of my truck or off my tractor, shut the gate, and then I go to the farm. When I come back out, I got to reverse that and do the same thing all over again. That's restricting my right to access to my property. So, what I'm asking the town to do, which is to help me out here, is to inform Keith that he has no right to put up signs to say that's a private road, because it isn't. It's been a public access road my whole life. And so that's what I'm asking the town to do, is to help us out with that, because I've gone to the planning committee and they don't seem to want to do anything about it. So, here we are.
My understanding is this is a situation
where I have to plan to go out there and take down that sign, and then we get into a Hatfield and McCoy's type situation with a feud going on.
My understanding is this isn't the first time he's done this. Is that correct? That he's tried to block that road before. Is that true?
No, it's all part of the same process. He started, I don't know how long ago. Gardner, do you remember when he first did it?
I don't.
But it's all part of the same thing. He didn't do it a while and then stop. He did it a while ago. Now he put up a little bit more, another, I don't know, there's a triangle, kind of a triangle sign there that's there.
He just put up that sign, the bigger sign this year.
The bigger one?
Yes.
Yeah, but he had a smaller one there before. But there's been a sign there for several years now. I don't know how many, probably three, four up for the most.
So the bigger one's gone up since
he's
gone.
But I know he said to his brother in my hearing, Brother Paul, that he was going to put up a gate. Now, he hasn't done that. I think perhaps one of the reasons he hasn't is because he knows, because I talked to him and told him that I object to what he's doing. So he hasn't put up the gate yet.
Do you know if his objective is to keep other people out that don't need to be down there, or is his objective to keep you out?
Well, I don't think he's not objecting right now to keep me out, nor do I think that he intends on ever trying to keep me out.
Okay.
Because he knows that if he tried to do that, then he would have a legal
right,
and I would get a lawyer involved, and then we'd have a problem there. But my concern is that he puts up a sign today, and then he establishes them, nobody objects, so pretty soon then he puts up a gate, and then pretty soon he locks the gate, and then here we go. And even if I have a key to the locked gate, again, it restricts my access to my property.
So if it's public property, it's not on anybody's deed, and it Pam's shaking her head. What do you know, Pam?
Well, so I wish you could pull up the GIS. So I'm going to address a couple of things. It is not on our Manway Road map. It is not maintained by the town. And so what he's talking about, there are some strips out of old lots and blocks that were platted where you see a strip of land with no designation, right?
Okay.
No parcel number. But the problem is, Keith Jensen's property, when you get down to 300 East, that little strip of land has gone away over the years. So Keith Jensen doesn't have that corridor along his lot anymore. And Keith owns most of the property. So this is...
So does he own the property on both sides of the...
Okay, well, and I was going to bring that up, because that is true.
Okay, so here's Whitworth's property is here. Here's the little road. And Keith Jensen borders right on Whitworth's property, about up to here on the GIS. and then it opens up again.
To the term, to right before the term.
It opens up before the term.
Right.
But there's no easement that's been recorded on Keith Jensen's property. There's no ingress, egress easements at all that are of record.
So what I was going to say...
I will tell you where that is now, where this property starts. If you look on this old map...
Yeah, no, it's right here. So his property's right here. This is Whitworth's right here. Your property's up here. Because you have access on this little road right here, and your corner's up here.
So Pam, does the town maintain the road, though?
The town does not maintain that road at all.
Okay.
Well, what I was going to say is if that property was not deeded on somebody's ownership and it was public, he couldn't put a gate up, right? If he tried to put a gate up, we'd say you can't because you don't own the property to put the gate on it. But if the property lines show that he owns the property, we got a different problem, right? So I don't know what that tells us is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah. And I was unaware of this until we went down and talked with the county recorder down at the courthouse. The old map that I showed you here, I have here, that's where his property now starts, where this map leaves off. So apparently they intended on putting it on maps and leaving the road. But they never ever did another plot and finished the town.
Mm. Right.
Okay. So I'm willing to concede that if he wants to put up a sign on his property, both ends, I probably couldn't stop him from doing that. Okay. Although it's still a public right of way because. According to the ordinance, the state ordinance, even if a road goes over public or over private property, if it's been a public road for 10 years or more, or 10 or 20 or whatever it said there, and this has been there my whole life, and I'm 83, so it's been there an awful long time. But so even, now where was I going with this? I see. So my contention is that the intention was of the town to have that actually plotted and deeded over and have it a public home. Nobody owning it. So right now, the roadway that nobody owns goes south off the dike up to the corner, turns the corner and goes about 40% of the way up to Keith Jensen's place, and then it becomes part of Keith Jensen's property. Now, Keith himself has acknowledged the fact that that's a road because he has property there and he's put up a fence along his property, recognizing this is a public road right of way. So, yeah, he does own, apparently, that part of that road that goes goes west up to his place. Part of it, but only about 50-60% of it. The rest of that is not anybody's land or nobody owns it. So if he wanted to put up a sign on his property up right up by his home and then partway down that road, maybe I wouldn't have let him say it. But I would still protest if he tried to put a gate up. Because putting the gate up limits my access. Because like I just said, I've already experienced that with Ramsey. I can't just drive out to my property. I've got to stop and open and shut gates, not lock, and whatever. It's a pain. And so I don't want Keith to start putting up signs that are going to eventually allow him to put up a gate and limit my access to my property. And I want the town to help me out here by telling Keith, you can't do that. It's a public right of way. It has been for all these years, and you can't close it off.
Can we just start off with a slow, send him a letter from the town see where that goes.
Yeah.
And then
absolutely.
And then
yeah. I would appreciate that.
Okay. Since this isn't an action item, do I need to amend this to do an action item, or can we just send a letter to?
I mean, you can choose to send a letter.
Did you move it to next
time?
I thought it was a discussion item.
I moved it to a discussion point.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a discussion point.
Yeah.
You can do that again.
Well, either that or can I just say.
I moved the civic review to action, and I have modified the orange here, and that was it.
Write a letter. Okay, I'm just going to write a letter.
Yeah. From the town. We got to modify this.
Oh, I know. I know.
And we can discuss it again. And
okay.
All right.
Let's see where this goes in a friendlier manner. Or friendly manner, I should say. All right. Thanks, Bryce. All right. Well, the rest of them are just wait, no, we don't. So it's like, oh, that's good. Then I went, oh, no. All right, no. The next on is the CIP Capital Improvement Plan that, per the grant, we need to make a motion for approval of the capital improvement plan once Ron has taken us through what that is so that the grant can move forward. So, Ron, can you take us through this, what the CIP is? And I've already explained why we need to do this, and then go through the details.
Yeah.